right, good afternoon, everybody. I hope everybody's ready and you can see good. A couple of things real quick before we get started. Keep in prayer the family of the little boy or the young teenager that took his life. His funeral is Thursday at Post Spring. That's where they're going to do it at 3 p.m. So remember his family. Also, for the past 2 days, I've been ministering to a young lady via text messaging because she won't talk to me on the phone, but she keeps claiming she wants to hurt herself. When I think I'm close enough to have a Baker Act, she backfires on me and turns away. She only allowed me to reach out to her by text messages. Come to find out, she says she wants to love God, but doesn't know how. And that's an open door. It's an open door for us to reach in and love her and show her how. And that's what I spent time doing today and time yesterday. And I asked her what was one of her, something that she enjoyed doing, because she wanted to try and make a connection with them. And she said she enjoyed writing. And I asked her, what's her favorite topic? And she said, poems. And I said, okay. And she sent me one. And I read it, and I told her it was good, which it was. And so she sent me 3 different ones, and I commented on them. And I believe God is using that as an avenue to, speaking of, there she is right there. She asked me, said, do you like them? So if at any time during this Bible study you see me take a dash, it's because I probably need to intervene. Okay? And I am a trained person in suicide prevention. We're praying that the Lord Jesus Christ will intervene in our life. Okay. Anyway, it's not anyway, but God is at work. Look around you. I listened to your voices today, and you all have come together beautifully. Emma don't need a mic long she's standing by Belinda.
I know.
She's, I think what happened there is that Ms. Vicky paired Belinda and young one here up. They complement each other, and your voice along with Tamara's voice complement each other. And with Ms. Vicky being in the middle, it sounds great. So hopefully next week I can set up this mic, because it can do the microphone, or I can do it the other way and record you all and put you on the computer and slap you up there on the screen, and I'll bring it through the sound system and let you hear each other. Okay?
I really
going, why didn't I think of that earlier? Why didn't I do that? Folks, if you haven't been paying attention to the world, let me encourage you to do so. Paul tells you and I in Ephesians chapter 5 that we have to do something that is very important. And here's what he said. He said, redeem the time. Redeem the time. Why? Because folks are dying every day going to hell. And we have a responsibility to intervene, to get in there and do whatever we have to make sure the gospel of Jesus Christ is being heard. Don't worry about offending a person. You let God deal with their emotions, okay, teenagers especially, because you all are very sensitive to your peers, you know, their feelings, and we appreciate that. But God didn't call us to be concerned about men and women and boys and girls' feelings. He called us to be concerned about their souls. The Holy Spirit will get in. He has never failed over the thousands of years that he's been dealing with humans. He's never failed to deal properly with a human spirit that's broken. Okay? So he knows he's better at it than we are. So go ahead and be bold and be courageous. You know, BC, be bold. Be courageous. All right? Get out there and tell somebody about the Lord. It's like the young man told me the other day at the drive-thru, and I told you all about it. At least I thought I did. So I said, hey, are you ready? If Jesus Christ comes tonight, are you going to be ready? And he said, I don't know if my job will let me go. He got a sense of humor about it.
And, well, what happened to me last night?
And it's okay.
Barbara was telling my husband that I went to the mall with her, and this Jewish man, I was asking him if he knew Jesus.
And that's important. It's important. We need to be mindful of our Father's business. Reason why I ask you all about, have you been paying attention of what's going on? There are very important clues that the Lord has given us around the world. And you need to be paying attention to those clues that something major is about to happen in the world that's getting ready to shake the world up. And it's not focused on any particular national leader in any nation, and it's not focused on any particular nation or group of people. It's focused on every continent around the world. Okay? And here's what you need to know right now before we go to the Lord in prayer. As much as Satan has camouflaged the media with horrific things, God is saving people by the thousands.
Glory. Praise God.
Come on, somebody. Folks are being saved left and right. When you and I think that the Holy Spirit is not at work right now, that nobody cares about the things of God, let me tell you something. Maybe not in your neighborhood, maybe not in your neck of the woods, but in the rest of the world, folks are being saved. And you know what? In these United States, God is still saving people. Jesus Christ is still knocking on the door of men's hearts. Okay? So let's not be discouraged by the things we see on television, especially all the mess they put on Facebook. It's loaded with inflammatory stuff to divide the races. If you notice that. And if you allow that mess to get inside you and cause you not to love a brother or sister because of the color of their skin, because somebody did something stupid, then you are not allowing the Holy Spirit to show you the blessings of God. Because let me tell you, when you hear of a baby that was told, the mother and father were told, was not going to make it, and that they're to prepare for a funeral, and days go by, and the doctors begin to scratch their heads and say, well, maybe we were wrong. Yes, you were wrong, because the answer and all of the answers about that child's life belong to God. Amen. And God alone. And God determines, as Paul said, God determines the place. Okay? As the writer of Acts, Luke tells us in Acts chapter 17, is very clear on this. Get this in your hearts, please, before we go to the Lord in prayer. In Acts chapter 17, starting at verse 26, he said that God took one blood and created the nations. And then he set boundaries for men. Okay? And then he said, at God's appointed time, God predetermined where he wanted men to live. In other words, he knew exactly when he wanted Emma to be born and where she was to be born at and who was her parents. Okay? And so, I need my phone, sweetie. I think it's over there. Pardon me for this intervention that I'm doing. No, not this one.
The same age.
No, ma'am, not this one.
This is way beyond this one. Anyway.
when a heart is hurting, like, I'm going to share something with you. We're going to pray for her in a second. And I'm going to give you y'all a little bit what's going on, okay? All right, let me. She just came back. Satan is messing with her right now. We're talking about her poems and all. And I asked her if I could share them with you all. And I said, do I have your approval? She says, yes. Then she came back, do you like them? And earlier I go, yes. Then she goes, why? So here's my answer before we go to the Lord in prayer. Her name is Katie. You can know that much. And here's what I sent her. I believe what the Holy Spirit wanted me to tell her. They depict the amazing character God gave you. Now she's coming back. And what would that be? Two words. Who know what those two words are? True love.
Love and friendship.
True love. Because folks, when you're dealing with people, when folks' lives are hanging in the balance like this, you have to be very, very delicate. Because anything could be misconstrued. And one of the things you don't ever want to do is to get in an argument with them. Okay? Because their nerves right now are very, very sensitive. Okay, as you said. All right, let's go before the Lord in prayer. And you're going to watch the Holy Spirit work on two fronts here tonight. In our Bible study, and at the same time, he's dealing with this precious little jewel that wants to feel God's love in a wonderful and loving way. Okay? Father, we come to you now in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, we can jump and shout when the Spirit is moving in our favor. When everything is going right, Lord Jesus, we can just, we can shout from the front door to the back door. But what about those moments, Lord God, when things are not going so well? When things are troubling our souls and, Lord, it appears that nothing but dark clouds are hanging over us. What then? I believe it's in those moments, Lord Jesus, that you reflect the pureness of God's love in our hearts. Because it's in those darkest hours, it's when your greatness and your brightness shine forth like the noonday sun. And that's what this young lady needs to see. This is what she needs to feel. Lord, all of us at some point has been at the moment of despair. And you've been there for us, Lord Jesus. Even when we've sinned against you as a loving Father, you discipline us and you bring us back into right standing with you. And tonight our hearts are crying for this young lady. And Lord God, we're asking that you move in the way that only you can move on the human spirit, one-on-one with the Holy Spirit in the spirit world. We're asking you to speak to her spirit now, because that's where her real life is, not in her body, but her spirit. Her spirit is wounded, her spirit is broken, and she needs your healing, Lord Jesus. She just doesn't need a healing, Lord, and you know that better than any of us. She needs a loving Father, and that's you. None of us can give her that, but you can. And so, Lord, just as you did with the nation of Israel, this nation you birthed, this nation that was broken, Lord, you came to them in a very special way. You came to Israel in the form of your son Jesus, and you loved them up close and personal. And through the eyes of Israel, Lord, you allowed the other nations of the world to see and look at themselves and see their own brokenness. And knowing, Lord God, that we have sinned against you, and without Jesus, no nation can be saved. But tonight we're about to see a radical change take place in some Jewish folks back in the days of Paul. And so you're about to take them through baby steps and onto their new journey with you, Lord. Father, I'm excited about what you're doing in this young lady's life. I'm excited about what you're doing in our lives, and we're excited about what you did 2,000 years ago in Rome. Because, Father, we know what you did then, you will also do it now, and you are doing it now. And we're a testimony to that, and how great you are. So while I'm yet praying, Lord, we know your word says through the prophet Isaiah, while we're yet praying, you're answering us. And so, Father, thank you. Thank you for the life-giving Spirit, your Holy Spirit, who's now with this young lady, wrapping his loving arms around her, carrying her into the very heart of Christ. Thank you for that message of love. Have your way now, Holy Spirit, for your children are listening. Watch over Israel and allow your peace to dwell in Jerusalem, Father, and bring salvation to all of Israel. And not only Israel, Lord God, but in our own country. Our own countrymen have sinned against you. We have sinned against you. And we acknowledge and confess that not only have we, modern-day Americans, sinned against you, but our fathers and our fathers' fathers have sinned against you. And so, Lord, we thank you for your never-ending grace and your enduring mercy that brings us constantly into the presence of Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for interceding for us. We love you and we praise you. It is in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Somebody tell me something about Rome right now.
Rome?
Yes, back in the days of Paul.
Rome is one of the most sinful capitals in the world at this time.
Okay. Give me what kind of picture is in your eye when you said that. Draw us a picture, a word picture.
They have the big stadium where they bring in the Christians and kill them as a sport.
Okay. Somebody said something in one of the back rows. What did you say?
Colosseums.
Okay. Out of worship on a very large scale, yes. What is out of worship? How does that relate to Israel? Everything that you just said, how does that relate to Israel at this moment in time?
They consider that their prosperity from their crops are from a god.
Mm-hmm. Or from where?
Or from themselves.
Or from themselves? Okay. All right.
Living without God.
Isn't that probably the most heinous thing to do? Should I take the word probably out of here and put absolute, the most heinous thing? Mm-hmm. In a person's heart, the absence of Christ means the absence from God. And the Jews were not aware of how far gone they had went away from God. And last week we spent in chapter 9, in the latter part of that chapter, a good amount of time covering the Old Testament on where they falter at, and how God purposely turned Israel around, in a sense, by placing who in their lives? Say it again? Jesus, absolutely. Because remember Paul said, in the fullness of time, God brought forth his son Jesus. Okay? And Luke also gives us a beautiful, beautiful picture of it. We celebrate it every December 25th, don't we? And that is the what? What do we celebrate? The birth of Christ, our Lord. Okay? And Israel, of all people, of all the nations on earth, was given this wonderful gift. They got the chance to see the Messiah being born in their country. And poor shepherds abiding in the field. People that didn't have good reputations. I mean, they were worse than, pardon the expression, whores and pimps of the day.
Shepherds?
Yeah, they had a bad reputation.
Why did they follow the stars?
And here, God chose them. People that didn't have a good reputation among common people. Okay? And yeah, not educated, not, however,
dirty.
They, say again?
Dirty?
Yeah.
They didn't wash up.
People thought because they stayed out in the field a lot, they made up a bunch of stories, and nobody really believed them. They was considered as liars, and nobody, and their occupation, a shepherd's occupation, was considered the lowest on earth. And so,
they were looked down
upon. But think about it now. The majority of Israel history involves shepherds. All the patriarchs, every last one of them were shepherds. Abraham was a shepherd. Isaac was a shepherd. Jacob was a shepherd. Moses was a shepherd. What do you think he was doing when God called him?
Tending the sheep.
He was tending the sheep. He was a shepherd.
David.
Yeah, David, the glorious singer of God, that great musician of God on earth. David was a shepherd.
That was a lifestyle, right?
Yes. But yet they were looked down upon because they were shepherds. And so Father sent his angels to go and tell shepherds, the people that were least respected on earth, that the glorious Christ our Lord had arrived. This was the nation of Israel. Those shepherds, everybody, belonged to Israel. And they came with a heart of faith. They didn't doubt. They saw something, Emma, that you didn't get a chance to see. They got to hear something, Miss Wonderful Loving Musician, that you didn't get a chance to see. They got a chance to hear the heavenly choir. I mean, millions of angels broke out in an anthem. They began to sing glory in the highs and goodwill on earth towards who? At first they said glory to God in the highs and goodwill on earth towards men. These shepherds, these Israelites, witnessed this. Okay? And then you were talking about the Magi who was coming. They weren't necessarily shepherds. They were noble men of their day. And they came on in. How am I linking this to chapter 10 today? Because what Paul was demonstrating in chapter 9, that all the glorious and wonderful things that God had did with the nation of Israel, Israel still failed to live up to God's requirement, God's righteous requirement of the law. Okay? And they were taught all their lives that this is the way that you had to live. At some point, let me ask you a question. At some point, if you begin to turn a railroad track, if you bend a railroad track an eighth of an inch, what's eventually going to happen to the train 100 miles down the road? It's way off course. Do you know how big an eighth of an inch is?
Not very much.
Like it's like this. Okay? And you bend it with your false teachings, with the oral traditions, Eventually, you no longer have the pureness of the gospel that God gives you. You now have the doctrine of men. And that's what Israel had experienced. Men over time had put their two cents in. Instead of following the letter of the law, like young Josiah, when he was read the scriptures, the book of the law, rent his clothes, started crying, and said, what have we done? Go get the priest. Okay, matter of fact, the priest brought him to him and the scribe. He said, we need to do this. And it began to set Israel back on track spiritually. Okay? And so, for the next several hundred years, they strayed. And they strayed huge. But God knew when to send forth his son, that right moment. Okay? God knew when to bring Jesus into the picture. And he did. And even having him there among them, they still did what? They still did what they wanted to do. They still failed. It's just like you and I. We get glorious teaching and preaching from around the world every day. There are institutions in this country that literally teach this gospel word for word and teach us to understand the foreign language that it would have been. And so that we can go out and teach others as well. But yet, how often do you and I stumble over it? All the time. All the time. I submit to you, a lot of us did today. If we really examine ourselves according to the gospel, a lot of us stumble over it today. Okay? Because let me ask you, did you visit somebody in the hospital today? Did you visit someone in prison today, young lady? Did you take someone a piece of bread today?
I called up somebody.
Did you take someone a piece of bread today?
If I knew.
Did you take somebody a piece of bread today?
No.
Okay. Did you take clothes to people that's living in the streets today?
My husband.
Okay. Now, do you all realize what I just gave you? I just gave you the gospel from Matthew chapter 25, starting at verse 33, where he said, when I was hungry, you what? When I was naked, you what? And when I was sick, you did what? You visit me, and when I was in prison, you came to me. I just gave you part of the gospel, and you didn't even know it. So you, and how many of y'all did all those today? Not a one of us. I didn't do it.
She did.
You did all of them?
No, not all. One of them.
Didn't know.
What, she fed you and clothed you?
I was bad.
Yeah, he was sick today.
Okay, well, praise God. But anyway, so we see how we can get caught up, because really, that's where the mercy and grace of God to the letter of the law tells you and I that none of us is capable of keeping God's word to the absolute positivity of what it says.
Yep.
Amen?
Do it.
We can't do it. And that was just a demonstration of it, right? And so now Paul is at the point with this church that he didn't start. Someone else planted the church in Rome. Paul had not visited them yet. And I believe that Paul was in Corinth when he wrote this letter to them. You know, that letter, those two letters that we get, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. And so he wrote this, and he says something amazing in verse 1 in chapter 10, and he says it in verse 1 in chapter 9. In retrospect, Emma, he tells him, he said, listen, I would give my life. He said, I would perish in order for all Israel to be saved, so that all of my countrymen could be saved. How many of you all are willing to offer up that kind of sacrifice? Sacrifice yourself for eternity so that fellow Americans could be saved. He repeats that deep heart emotions in chapter 10 in verse 1. Brother, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. The Greek word there for salvation, for saved there, is soteriology we use, which means the study of salvation, or soteria, for salvation, okay? And here's the thing about salvation that you need to know. There's two things about it. Is that number one is the first rescue. That's when God pulls you out of danger. Yes? God, through Jesus Christ, pulled Emma out of hell. And I'm not talking about the spirit of dead. I'm talking about the lake of fire. Okay, not Hades here, but Tartarus. Did you get that one? That's the word that's used for hell over, in describing the lake of fire. All right? Now, the second one, and this is the part that you and I struggle with day in and day out, and that's why I kind of poll each one of you here, and you kind of fumble over it when I ask, did you do this and did you do that? Here's that salvation, Emma, is to make sure you're doing what you're supposed to do on a daily basis. Wow. Didn't know that, did you? Because one of the things that Paul told the Philippian church, and you will read it, and it's so powerful. Here's the thing that he told the Philippian church. He said, you are to work out your own salvation with trembling and fear. You mean I got a part to play? Well, God has done the first part. He sent Jesus. But there's a part of the second part that he wants you to play in. That means daily Bible study. That means daily prayer. Daily respecting who he is and honoring his presence, which we all fail to do. But we're going to do it. We're working on that. He's patient with us. And doing those things that pleases God. Okay? And so Paul is about now to take this baby church, and both groups is getting ready to get a super, super lesson on what it means to be saved. That's where we are in chapter 10. Has anyone ever taken the time and given you a super, super lesson on what it means to be saved? Take you down this new journey of life called Christianity. Folks, Christianity is not a religion. Because if Emma would use her phone right now to go to Webster Dictionary or Google and look up the word religion, I'm almost certain she would get this kind of definition. Here's that definition. She would get that it is a trend or a way of doing things or a tradition. That's what religion is.
Doing the same thing.
Over and over again, kind of remotely, okay? A rote, shall I say. However, God doesn't want you and I to be religious. God wants you and I to be life changed. And that's what's about to happen to these Jewish folks there in Rome. Paul is about to show them how they are to take what they have learned all their life about the Jewish faith and how to line all those teachings under the law that they receive, and how all of that summed up in Christ is called what we today call it Christianity. You believe that? Are you ready to see that? How he's getting ready to take them from the old to the new. Not losing not one iota from the law. Okay? Remember, we got to go back to our Lord's first teachings. He said, I did not come to abolish the law or to destroy the law. He said, I came to fulfill it. And so Paul is now getting ready to show them how that is done. And he's getting ready. And guess who are going to be listening to this letter is being read in the church in Rome? Gentiles too. Because now it's going to impact them as well. Because the same formality that it takes a Jew to get there, it also takes Gentiles. And this one thing is going to stand out for them both. And you're going to see what that is. Okay? And so it says, brethren, our brothers. He got their attention, right? In verse 1. Giving them his heartfelt, okay, what he's thinking here. For I can testify about them that they are zealous for God. Stop there for a minute. How many of you all truly mean what you say about Jesus? How many of you mean what you say and will go to fisticuff with somebody about Jesus? Defending the gospel. How many of you really mean about your testimony? Is it credible before God? Do you truly, when you're backed in a corner, when somebody back you up and says, you don't mean that, prove it. And begin to call your God all kinds of names, what are you going to do? There you go. Okay. All right. That was Israel. Israel will get fighting mad if you got in their face and talked about Yahweh. Suppose them and say, look, you got a zeal. I mean, you don't play that stuff. Okay. How many of us is that way about Jesus? I'm telling you, you get to calling my Lord all kind of names, I'm getting in your face. Mm-hmm. I don't care who you are. You may knock me out and beat me to a bloody pulp. But you know what? I ain't backing down. Because he didn't back down off the cross for me. Are you hearing me? So these folks, Paul said, look, you mean what you say. You take a stand. Okay? History has proven that. Am I right? So it says, for I can testify about them that they are zealous for God, but their zeal is not based on knowledge. In other words, they are ignorant to who God really is based upon revelation knowledge from God. Why? Because somewhere along the ages, they did a huge turn from the true teachings. And they missed God's mark of excellence. Okay? This man is ringing a bell for prayer. We're coming out. And so, this is what God does. And I'm glad you are.
Very happy.
To God be the glory.
Amen, brother.
That's what it's for. Say, please. You ready for me to pray for you?
I've been already prayed, buddy.
All right, God. Yes, sir. To God be the glory. What's your name?
Eric Crawford.
Eric, I'm Pastor Sammy Nelson.
Yes, sir.
Glad to meet you.
I was joking, didn't you? They was making fun of me over there.
Tell him ain't no shame in your game.
That's exactly right, brother.
That, matter of fact, we were just talking about that in there.
Are you serious?
Yeah, we're having Bible study in here.
Are you?
You all can join if it's wanted. Uh-huh. At 6 o'clock.
Hold on a minute. Huh?
And so...
Well, I'm a believer Christian. Yes, ma'am. No, I was there. They thought I was playing over here. Yeah. We waiting on some family. We're going to join right here. For a birthday. Yeah.
Eric, can I pray for your group?
Sure. Come on over.
How you all doing?
Good, how are you?
All right.
How you doing?
Sammy Nelson. I'm the pastor of this outreach ministry here. Glad to meet you. Good? Good?
How you doing?
Hey, he got the cross hanging out his mouth. Well, that's all right, man. I love that. Okay. But we put this out here because we want people to know that Jesus is on Main Street.
That's right.
Okay? And you look familiar to me. I don't know why. What, did we serve in the Army together?
No, you a lot older than I am, big guy.
Maybe. Maybe. Anyway, I know y'all got a place to be, so I'm going
to
pray with you. All right. Y'all ready to pray? That's right. Father, we come to you now in the precious name of your son, Jesus, thanking you for Eric and his family and friends. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you continue to give them the boldness and the courage that Eric just demonstrated before them to let the world know that they're not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for that boldness in them, Lord, because today that's what America needs. We don't need any more separation. We need unity in the spirit, and these folks have it. Bless them tonight. Continue. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless y'all. Thank you. Stop by anytime, okay?
How come you guys didn't come out and pray?
I was going to come out there, but then you guys started.
Okay. So here we are. There we were. That was a demonstration of the Holy Ghost. He was demonstrating to his family that he was not ashamed of who he is in Christ. And I'm going, I said, we just talked about that. Look at the Holy Spirit just sealed it. Okay? So Paul, he's telling them, look, we know that you mean what you mean about God, but you're still lacking something. You're lacking something huge in your life. You don't have the understanding of God. You don't have the true knowledge of God in here. Okay? And therefore, you also, because you like that understanding and that knowledge, you like the wisdom of God also. All right? And he's loving on them. In verse 3, he says, since they did not know the righteousness that come from God and sought to establish their own. Got that? They did not submit to God's righteousness. What happened when men convolute the gospel of truth? What happens when men decide that all this what you see on these shelves are greater than what you see right there in front of you? The word of God. That's why you don't see me from the pulpit quoting men and women's writings, okay? You see me quoting who? What's in the word of God. Things like this, Christian theology, what's that? You got all this kind of junk up here that they made us study that's not worth a hill of beans when I was in seminary. All this junk. It's a waste of people's times. Because Paul them didn't study all this stuff. They weren't made to spend hundreds and thousands of dollars on textbooks and classroom instructions. This stuff, man requires this stuff, not God.
Right.
What they had was the unadulterated gospel of God,
right,
passed down by God himself, okay, and sealed in the blood of God. That's what they had. Nowadays, churches don't want to hire a pastor unless he walk in the office with a doctorate, at least working on it. The doctrine of men. The Bible tells you and I, we see over in Acts when the Holy Spirit walked into that prayer meeting where those men were, and he said, set aside for me Paul and Barnabas for the work of the ministry. They had already been commissioned by God in heaven. Okay? That's all they needed was the working of the Holy Spirit in them. But they lacked that. And men today still lack it. Because they rather depend on these rather than this. And when you depend on this, the word of God, it will lead you to the one that gives you knowledge. Paul told the church in Ephesus in chapter 1 of the book of Ephesians. He said, I pray. He said, my desire is for you to be filled with the wisdom and knowledge and understanding of God and Christ. That's school, babies. That's school. Okay? That's everything we need. And nobody can counter. When God schools you, nobody can take that away. And that's what Israel was lacking. The Pharisees and the scribes and all of them, they had taught them all kinds of stuff, but they had liked the understanding of who God is. You know how we know? Because when the wise men went to King Herod, and Herod called for the priests and all, and he said, tell me, where is the Messiah is to be born? Where is this king is to be born? And they went running, grabbing all kinds of stuff, looking it up. And they came back and said, they quoted the prophecy from Micah. And it said, O Bethlehem of Ephrathah, you who is least among the rulers of Judah, out of you shall come a ruler who shall govern my people. Amen. That was straight from the word of God. But if they'd have known this, these spiritual things, they wouldn't have had to run away. They would have been led by the Spirit of God. The same Spirit that led that prophet to write those words would have been the same one there to lead them and give them their answer. Amen? And Paul is, he's telling them something there. Okay? You're missing something huge here. All right? So, because they didn't understand the righteousness of God, because they didn't understand God. So, oh, okay, you can't carry your mat on a Sunday. Oh, why are your disciples eating grain on the Sabbath? Why did your disciples not wash their hands before they ate? And Jesus looked at them. Almost like we would say today, you got to be kidding me. That's the best you got. And he looked. There's one greater than the Sabbath here. Okay? And washing of hands? Don't you know what goes into the man's mouth is not what defiles him, but what comes out of the man? That's what defiles him, and not unwashing hands? Did y'all hear what he was telling them? Oh, why did your master eat with sinners and publicans? And once again, he take him back to the school of God. He said, I did not come to call the righteous to repentance, but sinners. And he said, I desire mercy. Go and find out what this means. So, they was establishing their own form of righteousness to the point. And Matthew records the results of it in chapter 11 towards the end there, because Lord Jesus, he looked out on the crowd of people and he felt sorry for them. Not in the sense that he pitied them, but he really had the words and he had compassion, meaning that in his belly, he felt it right there in his inner person. Okay? And why? Because he made this statement to them, and he said, let's see, how did it go? I think some of y'all are somewhat familiar with this text. It said, come to me, all you who are heavy laden and burdened. Does that sound familiar to you? It said, come to me and take my yoke upon you. Why? Because my burden is light and my yoke is what? Easy. Come and you'll find rest unto yourself. But why did he ask them this? Why did he say that to them? Any idea? Yeah, because the religious leaders had wore the people out with their old traditions, with their ways, you know, their form of righteousness. And folks, people are still being worn out today by man's form of righteousness. Oh, you can't wear pants because you're a lady. Really? You ever heard of lady pants? Well, you can't come to church as a guy because you got an earring. Have you ever heard that Israel, the men in Israel, had earrings? If you don't believe me, read the text. It'll tell you that they took off their earrings and they took out of their nose rings. Were you aware of that? Well, it's there. And there's Mr. Bates coming through the door. God bless you. And so, that's what they were lacking. So they developed their own set of rules. And say, you got to do these in order to get to him. And if you don't, you're a sinner. And like they were telling Lord Jesus, we know that God doesn't hear a sinner. Okay? Remember the man that was born blind. In John chapter 9. And the Lord Jesus healed him. And they asked him, you know, why are you doing this on the Sabbath? And they say, well, a man called Jesus told me. You know? And they began to question this guy about him being born blind. And they even sent for his parents. Lord, and behold, the man began to school them on things that they're supposed to know. Finally got down to it, he just busted them out and said, hey, why you keep questioning me? Why, you want to be his disciples too? And the word of God says, and they kicked him out of the synagogue. They excommunicated him. And you know, excommunication means that he couldn't buy in the marketplace. He couldn't go to the temple. He couldn't do anything because they put him out of the community. But the good news about all of that, the Lord Jesus Christ went and found him. Because God knows all things. Can you imagine being blind all your life? And the first time you see are the people who's supposed to be leading you to God. And they're the ones that hurt you the worst by putting you out of the synagogue. You never saw what the inside of the temple looked like. And now you were put on trial and kicked out. The very same day that you were able to see for the first time. How would that make you feel? Because they had developed their own form of righteousness. Okay? And they hurt that man. They hurt him deeply. But Lord Jesus Christ knew he was hurting. That's not only why he went to him because he needed to be saved. Not only did he need a physical healing, but he needed a spirit saved. And Lord Jesus went to him. And you know what? That God bless man did something that all of us should be doing. When Jesus approached him and asked him, he said, do you believe in the Son of God? And he said, Lord, who is he so that I can believe? You know what Lord Jesus told him? Something that you and I desire to hear face to face with him. He said, you're both looking at him and hearing him. It is he who's talking to you. Now, if you want to talk about revelation knowledge, huh? You want to talk about a form of righteousness that comes from God? That man got it face to face. And the scripture tells us, and he worshiped. He knelt down and he worshiped the Lord right then and there. He didn't wait till Sunday. And he didn't wait till Tuesday night Bible study. He did it right then and there. Instantly. He submitted to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. We'll go a little bit long if y'all don't mind, because we had a couple roadblocks there. So, in verse 4, so they did not submit to the righteousness of God. They didn't want that, Emma. People today don't want what God has to offer through Jesus. Jesus offered the pureness of the gospel, unwatered down, taught exactly the way he gave it to his apostles. Okay? That's the way he wanted his disciples to give it out. Not change it. Not tweak it so it can sound good. Give it out just the way the Holy Ghost put it in their hearts to write it. And that's what we're getting tonight from him. What is written there, line by line, precept upon precept. We talked about that. And God doesn't want us to deviate from this. Because if you do, then we are going to be guilty of what Paul said Israel was guilty of. Going after God with their own form of righteousness. Which is not going to get them anywhere. Okay? So, verse 4, Christ is the end of the law so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Folks, when Israel demonstrated that it was incapable of living up to God's word, God's standard, God sent Jesus. For hundreds of years, Israel failed to live up to the standard. Okay? You and I are no different today. Until we come under the saving grace of Jesus, until we come under the saving knowledge of the gospel, we are the same as Israel. Every person in America have heard of God. Every person. Now, whether we believe him, that's a different story. Most of us have heard of Jesus. If we believe it, a different story. Most houses in America have a Bible. Whether we read it is a different story. Same thing for believing it. Am I correct? But if you allow the Holy Spirit to move you to the belief, and that's what Paul is doing here. He's turning a nation. He's turning a nation back in the direction of God the way they're supposed to have been. Because if any nation is supposed to have been waiting for the Messiah, it's supposed to have been them. If any nation is supposed to know what he looked like, it's supposed to have been them. They should have been able to identify the signs. Just like Paul told you and I in Ephesians 5, redeem the time. That's what we said at the beginning of this Bible study. You need to know what's happening. And you need to line those things up with the scriptures. Because God is sending messages. Even Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, he said, look now, look at the sky, look at the heavens. Why? He said, because I'm placing signs up there. You need to be looking. But people are going to go, oh, you're a astrologer. You're a stargazer. And you're trying to prophesy based on the stars and what's going on. No. That's not what he means. He's telling you, fix your eyes towards heaven and line up what's happening on earth with the word of God. And know, as Paul said, that your redemption is what? Near. And not only that, not only near, he said, nearer than it was before. Closer than it was before. Okay? That's why I tell you and I, come on now. You got to get this thing together. You got to be watching. Okay? Know what's happening. Let's do a couple more verses if I don't trip myself up here. Boy, we got to do a better thing with this next time. All right. So, salvation, the righteousness of God that comes in Christ, Christ fulfilled the righteous requirement of the law. I want every one of you to stand up and give me a testimony that Jesus sent. Bring your evidence. Bring him and put him on trial now. Why are you looking at me dumbfounded?
A testimony?
You can't do it?
No.
You're right. You cannot do it. There is no evidence that Jesus Christ ever sinned. Because he didn't. Oh. Kind of trip you up there a little bit, didn't I?
Yes, you
did. There is no evidence because he was sinless. And guess what? Newsflash for you. He still is. And will ever be. Right, Brother Dave? And so, people can say what they want to try to trip you up in your understanding of Lord Jesus. And I said, well, Jesus was a man. He was tempted like you. You think Jesus didn't know. I said, you know what, dude? You need to go and get some understanding. You need to go get some wisdom from God. Okay? There's a book in the Bible called Proverbs in chapter 3 and chapter 4 also. It tells you and I this statement. And it says it over and over again. He said, in all you're getting, get an understanding. In other words, don't be dumb. Okay? Find out what you're supposed to know and then learn it. All right? Not just the twisting of the hair. Okay? Learn it. The righteous requirement of God in the law was fulfilled 100% by Jesus Christ himself. You want a good role model? Don't look to Iggy. Okay? Or LeBron. Or Joe Biden or anybody else. You want a good role model? Look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our salvation. He is the good role model. Because Over in Hebrews chapter 4, it tells you and I that Jesus was tempted in every way, yet without sin. So you want a good role model? Look to Jesus. Amen? Don't go trying to buy every little book that comes out. You know what gets me in? Can I get on a soapbox a minute? Is it okay to jump on a soapbox just for a little bit? Every time a Christian conference come up, why do people break their necks trying to get to them? Oh, if I could just get to them. And they get on the phone and they talk to their buddies and their sisters and they spend all kinds of dollars for hotels and food and big conference tickets and everything so that they can brag, well, did you hear so-and-so? And I sit back and I put my hands in my pocket and I think sometimes my wife think I'm kind of cuckoo, but maybe not. But I don't mean to be cynical. But you know, a cynic about this, but folks, if you need to run and get on an airplane and fly 1,500 miles to go to a conference so that you can feel closer to God, you've already missed it. You lost all that money. If you want an understanding of who God is, Mr. and Mrs. Christian, then open the Word of God and go into your prayer closet, and you don't come out until the Holy Spirit has done something in you.
Amen.
You want to get closer to God? Something just happened to me. I'm sorry. You want to get closer to God? To the Holy Spirit. Ask him, what does this mean? Ask Jesus. Ask him. Before Jesus died, he told those 11 men, he said, when the Comforter comes, you know what? Can you go to John chapter 16, and we'll close out with this. And we'll pick up in Romans when we come back next week, the Lord's willing. I want to close with this. John chapter 16, we want to start at verse 8. Okay? I want... John, up the other way, baby. Up the other way. Up. You got to go. It's in the gospel. Slow down. Go back down some. It's easy if you use the cursor. I mean the mouse.
Okay,
John... Chapter 16.
Yeah. Oh my gosh.
I know. There you go. That's me. I'd have done that. Alright, scroll back up to verse 8. Okay. If you need some light, we can get some light.
Okay.
Chapter 16, verse 8. Okay. Just the back ones, RV, so you don't kill the screen.
Back and forth. Oh, why isn't that?
Because.
Oh my gosh. John chapter 16.
Okay. Okay, let me help you out here. Cause you keep
doing something weird.
No. I assure you it's you.
No.
But it's okay.
It's not me.
We get to learn. That's where we go to Shula.
Why is it working for you?
Because I know what I'm doing.
I know what I'm doing.
Okay, the evidence is on the screen.
I know, I just did it.
No. Okay, listen here as we close out tonight. You want to get close to God, Mr. and Mrs. America? You want to know what it's like to feel that Holy Ghost power from Jesus? You want to know what it's like to have the Messiah, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, wrap his loving arms around you? Well, here is the doorway to it. And he, talking about the Comforter, he will reprove, let me go in the NIV side. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment in regard to sin, because men do not believe in me in regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father where you can see me no more, and in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world is now stand condemned. That's when he slammed Satan. I have much, and starting at verse 12, look at this now. This is the hallmark of it. On the NIV side, because that's what Ms. Vicky has. I'm just going with that for now. This says, I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear, or otherwise understand. Okay? Oh, don't do that to my eyes, Emma. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, here it is now. He will do what? He will guide you into all truth. So you want to know about the deep things of God? You want to know about the deep things of Jesus Christ, the Son of God? Then go to the Spirit of God. Because it is his job to take you right into their presence and to show you unspeakable things that you've never seen before about them. And to place an understanding in you and to place a knowledge in you and wisdom in you that you never had before. And you don't have to pay for conference tickets. No, I'm not opposing the conferences that teaches the righteousness of Christ. I'm opposed when men go with the wrong motive. You want to get close to God in Christ. Get close to the Holy Spirit. And he will teach you. And Jesus tells us. Let's finish this up real quick. He will tell you. But when he, the Spirit of truth, come, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. Whatever the Father says, whatever Lord Jesus says, the Holy Ghost is listening to the ear of God. Okay, the mouth of God. The Holy Spirit ear is tuned in with the mouth of God. Okay? Why? Because they're the same Spirit. Who knows the mind of God better than the Spirit of God? And he's going to tell you, thus said the Lord. Okay? And he's going to get a hold of your heart because he knows what you're capable of understanding and what you don't understand. He knows your IQ level. He gave it to you. And he knows your faith level, Matthew Nelson. He knows whether or not a little child understands or a teenager does. So who are we kidding now? So here it is. Jesus said this, he will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. So you want to wait for a revelation knowledge from God? Open up the word of God and ask the Holy Ghost, here I am, okay? I'm ready. And he may let you know that you're ready, and he may let you know that you're not ready yet. Okay, you got to mature a little bit more. He's the one that's doing the maturing in you. And then, the final thing on that, it says, he will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. Why do you have to run miles and miles away, spend up all the money that you know you can't afford to spend so that you can get close to God, so somebody can tell you something that the Holy Ghost had already been telling you? To tell you to study, to show yourself approved unto God. A workman who need not to be ashamed. Why? Because they're rightly dividing the word of truth. That's what Lord Jesus says. When you listen to the Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus gets the glory. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. The Holy Ghost loved to make Jesus feel good. That's what that glory means. It loved to please him. Okay? He loved to bring a little 15-year-old child stuff from heaven. Okay? He sent an angel to Mary and told him that he was about to father a child in her. Okay? Any questions? And 15, all that belongs to the Father is mine. This is Jesus talking. That is why I said the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you. Jesus just established a hierarchy there, did he not? It comes from God to Jesus to the Holy Ghost to you. Again, I'm not saying don't go, because sometimes God will send a word. Okay? But seek the Holy Spirit guidance. Any question?
Yes. It doesn't get any better when it's right there in front of you. At home all the time. And don't have to go anywhere for it.
And you don't. And your biggest teachings will often come from not being in a Bible study or sitting in a pew, but it'll come from you sitting quietly before God.
Amen.
With the Word of God open. And watch Him. Watch Lord Jesus take you to an area of Him that you've never been before. Y'all ask me, how did I get what I have? That's my answer. From Him.
The Holy Spirit revealed.
The Holy Spirit brought me into the revelation knowledge of Jesus Christ. If I told you it was my own doing, I would be lying. But all those years, it's all the work of the Holy Ghost. So that I can teach you now. Okay? Professors did help shape some of the stuff. Okay? They get credit for 0.10%. The rest of it is all the Holy Spirit. In fact, they don't get any credit. It all goes to God because they're God's servants. Is that fair?
Just know what they're supposed to be doing, not expect anything.
You got it. Okay. Emma? I want you to do something, sweetheart.
What is God?
I want you to pray for this young lady. No, I'm not turning this off. We're going to hear you.